plate a potential nugget.
And moving to the second trap, you said our sense of being right about something is not really a cognitive process, but an emotion that has nothing to do with whether you're right or not. I found that an interesting nuance. What's the crux of the insight here, and how do we overcome this issue?
I know. I think it's actually mind-bending, right? I think when we think about it, we have the sense of ourselves. And I was teaching this to a client once, and he said, no, Jennifer, this might be true for other people, but I actually think things through before I come to conclusions about them. And so for me, this one is not a problem. And I said, you know, yeah, that's the way it feels for all of us, actually. Like, we all think that. And he came back to me about a week later and he said, oh my goodness, I have been noticing I make up my mind first and then I backfill data. I do this all the time. And that is, of course, the way it works. In a brain scan, we see that the arrival of the emotion of certainty comes before, you know, not hours before, but milliseconds before the cognitive part of our decision making actually comes online. And so this shows that we feel certain and then we figure out why, as opposed to we feel like we don't know and then we figure out what we believe. Now, of course, sometimes we absolutely do it the other way, but by and large, we don't.
Is this related to the point around having a gut instinct, or are these two different things?
No, they are two similar things. And it's one of the questions that people often ask me is like, what do we do with our instincts? And I think the thing is, we want to understand our instincts, particularly if they come from a non-cognitive part of us, our bellies, our bodies. We want to understand them, pay attention to them, because there's really important data there. We just don't want to have blind faith in them, just as we don't want to have blind faith in our ability to think our way through these challenges.
So how do we... So maybe just sticking with this, Jennifer, so how do we ensure we're not carried away by the emotion, but we ensure that we are rational? What do you advise leaders to ensure they're not caught in this trap?
I have us look for what certainty feels like and begin to notice that as separate from a cognitive process. Like, what does it feel like when you feel certain? You can often notice some things your body does, like I move forward in my seat. I start thinking ahead to how I'm going to defeat the disagreement or the perspectives of others. Like I have a sense of righteousness in me. Now, when I notice those things, I'm able to say, oh, wait, this is an emotion. This is closing me down to new possibilities, to new data, and I could totally be wrong here. So asking myself, what is it that I'm really believing right now? Not what's true, but what do I believe is true? And then how could I be wrong about this? Allows me to listen in a new way, not to defeat the other person, not to listen to win or listen to fix their ideas, but to listen to learn from them, to hold my mind open as a practice, as an intentional practice, as opposed to just going with this emotion that bowls over my capacity to learn.
The piece around listening to learn as against listening to win or listening to fix is a profound one. One of my earlier guests was Arun Myra, former member of Planning Commission and former chairman of BCG India. He's the author of the book Listening for Wellbeing, Conversations with People Not Like Us. In that conversation, he speaks about how we could listen better to different perspectives.
We look at data, and so there is a lot of questions about the data. Where's the data? How does the data add up? So you go down that path about the data and trying to see reality through reorganizing and adding up or subtracting in the data itself. And you can go down that path also into the logic behind in the data itself. Right. Yeah, so this weight will lead to that. So it comes to the next level of math, which is not just addition and subtractions, but you go to more, you know, calculus maths. And so there's a whole way of thinking about how to make sense of the data. And I say, fine. Now the data is being interpreted by a mind. The data also is collected by people who felt that that was good data to get. So there was a mind which chose what data to select. So there are minds here. So there's a reasoning in the mind about why this is important data. So I learned to switch myself off the deductive track pretty quickly and to ask, why do you think one should be looking at this data? And then I would notice quite often that the why that person thinks this data is important is the reason. Probably I ask the question because I think it's, what's the point of this data? I don't think this data is important, but this person is presenting all this stuff. Why do you think it's important? So I'm learning about another person's way of thinking and what another person gives value to, which apparently is not what I give value to, and it's not my way of thinking. So this is how I'm, people not like us, as I say, I'm listening to someone who's not like me. Now, in this situation, both of us could be, let's say, in BCG or in the world of business and BCG, there are people like us. So we have a way of thinking and things we value and the data that we consider important, which is similar. And then you come to people who we consider, ill-educated, right? Or people who are rabid in their thinking. They're not like us. But they are human beings, and they, many of them got their PhDs, if you want to count that as also that they have education, or they've been through life very successfully in some field. So, but they value different things and they think about the world in a different way. So then I have to ask them about more questions about how they came to believe that these things are important. So learning about them, their journey, how they developed their values and their mental frames. And so that's how then I'm learning at even deeper levels about even the formation of my own values. I mean, how did my values form?
Focusing not just on the message, but on the messenger, and how the messenger thinks about the data and why might give us insights that are in our blind spot and help us understand a situation from multiple perspectives. Thank you for listening. For more content across 50 plus speakers, 500 plus nuggets, painstakingly curated across 65 odd themes, please visit playtopotential.com. You can also find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcast Player, and most other podcast platforms.